what he's going to do for us. We're sick of it. There's no hot water. There's no electric. No heat.
Many in New York and New Jersey are waking up to temperatures in the mid-30s this morning. President Obama will address the looming fiscal cliff today as Congress has 52 days to avoid automatic spending cuts and tax hikes set to kick in January 1st. NBC's Tracy Potts is in Washington.
We are told that he won't pitch a specific plan, but he will urge Congress, Republicans, and Democrats to cooperate.
This is NBC News Radio. An Ohio teenager will face sentencing today for his part in a deadly plot to lure men with phony Craigslist job offers.
17-year-old Brogan Rafferty faces life in prison without hope of parole. The teen was tried as an adult but not eligible for the death penalty. He was convicted for his part in the killing of three men and wounding of a fourth in a robbery scheme turned deadly. His 53-year-old co-defendant, Richard Beasley, has pleaded not guilty in the murders and will be tried in January. Tom Graham, NBC News Radio.
Mazda will make Toyota brand subcompacts at its new plant in Mexico. It allows Japan's top automaker to strengthen its North American model lineup. Mazda has been struggling since its ties with U.S. automaker Ford weakened. And a federal judge in Texas is expected today to decide whether a JetBlue Airways pilot can be released from prison. The pilot disrupted a flight back in March by running through the plane yelling about terrorists. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
If you like painting and saving money, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% off paints and stains during our four-day super sale, November 9th through the 12th. With 40% off our great paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Member FDIC.
Your vacation frustration is music to Mickey and Minnie's ears. Disney theme parks all over the world are getting more crowded and patrons are spending more money. Also, more people are booking on Disney cruise ships. That's resulted in record earnings and sales for the Mouse, also contributing to Disney's upside cable TV properties, especially ESPN. The Energizer Bunny is still going, but 10% of the company's employees aren't feeling cutesy like the ad campaign. Energizer Holdings, which along with batteries makes Schick razors and Wet Ones personal wipes, is cutting 1,500 workers and is closing factories in Vermont and Missouri. China's economy, which was showing signs of stagnation much of this year, now shows signs of improvement. Industrial output and retail sales in China both up strongly, but that news is failing to lift markets in Europe, which are still worried about its own debt crisis as well as the U.S. fiscal cliff standoff. Over here, S&P futures are down a point, NASDAQ futures up two. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Ally Bank. Why they don't hide things in the fine print.
That'll be $34.50.
I think the ad says it's half off.
If you look closely, it says only on Tuesdays.
It is Tuesday.
In October.
It is October.
During leap years.
This is a leap year.
After the first frost.
Oh, please.
Nobody likes when things are hidden in fine print. That's why Ally doesn't do it. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Member FDIC.
You just heard someone seeing pink in her sink after brushing. She's screaming because she knows bleeding gums can mean gingivitis, and that can lead to tooth loss, gum surgery, and worse. Now, daily use of the Natural Dentist mouth rinse can stop bleeding gums. So stop the screams and start the anti-gingivitis treatment with the Natural Dentist mouth rinse at Walgreens, Whole Foods, and other stores.
Do you have dark circles or puffy eyes? If you have dark circles under your eyes, bags, or puffiness, we're looking for you. Because right now, we're offering a risk-free trial of a fast-acting eye cream to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls now can try a risk-free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. We only have a limited supply of risk-free jars, so don't wait. For details, just call 1-800-865-1483. Lumitone makes dark circles less visible in seconds. Watch your dark circles fade from view like magic. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. This risk-free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for details on this Lumitone risk-free offer. Just call 1-800-865-1483. That's 1-800-865-1483. 1-800-865.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is the poster child for the cliche, actions speak louder than words.
One thing I tell people is there's no magic bullet here.
Because...
And there isn't just one or two things to do. This is a grinded out situation.
But I'm excited.
I think this is a challenge. Y'all don't shut up. I'm going to go out of my mind.
Welcome to Detroit's only free speech zone. It's time to wake up to truth, reality, and a way forward. It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning. It is Friday, the 9th day of November 2012, just 6 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning as we get ready to wrap up this general election week. And what a week it is. Time to move beyond the election, but not completely. And we're going to take a look today and visit with some candidates that were very successful on Tuesday. And we look forward to bringing them to you in a pretty extraordinary way. You know, I asked you yesterday to do a little homework. Many of you reached out to me. I'm going to continue to ask you to do that homework for a few more days so that we can start putting together an agenda for the show. We claim, and I think we claim properly, that this is your show. And for it to truly be a reflection of your show, we really should be servicing you with information that you desire. And that was the whole point of our homework exercise yesterday, which, again, I am pleased to tell you many of you took advantage of. And what was that homework? What would you like to see us concentrating on the program? Now, there's been, and I don't want to spoil it. I'm not going to tell you what came in. But there are some themes, some common themes building. One of the things I said to you is you can make this as personal as you want it, something that's particularly important just to you, or you can make it more general. That's totally up to you. I'm not judging that in any way, shape, or form. So continue to do that for a few more days. So we're going to go into next week with it as well. Once I collect that data, we'll... again, start dealing with some of these issues that you want us to deal with. All right. Let's take a look at what we have going on today. And interestingly, in the first hour, a couple winners. That's right. Dave Kirsten, congressman-elect in the old 11th Congressional District, will check in with us briefly as he gets ready to leave for Washington, D.C. for his 6 weeks of being a congressman. You might say 6 weeks, that's got to be some kind of record. Not even close. The shortest tenure as a congressman, one day. The second shortest, a day and a half. So 6 weeks is an eternity compared to those. Yes, they were many, 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 many decades ago. Doesn't matter. Not a record. We'll check in with Congressman-elect Dave Kirsten. We'll also check in with Supreme Court Justice-elect Bridget Mary McCormick. Of the three Democratic endorsed candidates, she is the only one that came out on the positive side of things, although the other two candidates did quite well. Bridget should be very proud, and we'll look forward to visiting with her. Steve Babson joins us. Steve is an activist extraordinaire. He is with People Before Banks. In fact, I will be at a dinner tomorrow, the Douglas Debs dinner tomorrow, where Steve Babson's contribution to society will be recognized with an award. But that's not why he's here. He's here to talk about stopping a foreclosure in a rally that's going to take place tomorrow morning, and it would be helpful if you showed up. All right, we'll get to that. Tim Grimmel, State Representative Tim Grimmel, just elected the new minority leader in the House, will begin his tenure in that role, which encompasses everything from fundraising to setting the agenda to committee assignments, will be with us. He'll tell us what his vision is for 2013 and beyond. Really an extraordinary story. He was just elected a few months back and was reelected to that same House seat for another 2 years. And we'll check in with him. How did somebody with so little legislative experience get to be the top dog in the Democratic caucus? We'll find out. Sharmi Golson will join us. Sharmi is the founder and executive director of Michigan Moms United. We're going to talk a great deal about the war on drugs, how useless it is, and how we need to start letting go of our preconceived notions about marijuana use. It's there. We have states, we have actually communities within the state of Michigan that legalized recreational use, although there's been lots of controversy surrounding that. We'll talk to Sharmi about that at 8:35, so stay tuned for that. And, of course, Joe DeSano, our political insider, will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour. Joe's always got a lot on his mind after the election. I'm sure there's plenty to discuss with Joe today. With all that said, let's go ahead and get this one going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is forward. Forward. Yes, it was the Obama campaign word or slogan, forward, but it's actually quite appropriate. We do have a mandate. For those of you that haven't heard, the Romney campaign has conceded defeat in the state of Florida, bringing the president's electoral college number up to 323 to his 206. Yes, forward. We now have a mandate, and that mandate is progressive. That is forward. We have states that approved same-sex marriage by popular vote, had never happened before. That's forward. We have more LGBT members. Members of the LGBT community serving legislatively, both in the state houses around the country and at the federal level, than ever before. More women serving in the Senate, 19, than ever in the history of the United States Senate. That's forward. Forward, folks, is progress, and we are making great progress. Certainly this election, I don't care how you want to slice it and dice it, dissect it all you want, this election was a mandate for a progressive agenda for America. You can tell because all of the conservative pundits and radio show hosts, all the television people at Fox News are just stymied, completely stymied, how the conservative agenda can be so widely ignored by the electorate. Well, it was. Oh, yes, it was. And so that, folks, is just another example of moving forward. Listen, I probably could go on for the rest of the hour on all of the progress that we are making, but there is still more work to do, especially here in the state of Michigan, where we did not return a majority to the Democrats in the House and won't be able to for another 2 years. So our engagement is critical to making sure that we hold the line and do not let this legislature hold the progressive movement back. The only way we do that is we all need now to step forward. Gee, wasn't that convenient? All right, we'll move on for now, but today's first word is forward.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And the Detroit Red Wings, for the first time in 11 years, are the Stanley Cup champions.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water.
All right, 15 minutes. We've got to get to a break here pretty soon. So instead of where we would normally go, first of all, let me say good morning to Anthony. Good morning, eh?
Oh, good morning.
Friday. It's Friday.
It is Friday.
I'm ready for it to be Friday.
And the Pistons had as many wins as they had last Friday.
Imagine that. Zero. It's not good. It's just not good. No news out of the National Hockey League. The Pistons are not winning.
They did meet again. And yeah, they're scheduled to meet again today.
I know, but, you know, okay, so they're meeting. They're obviously talking, but they're not agreeing, or we would be having different conversations, don't you think?
Yeah, but, I mean, they haven't been talking for over a month and a half, so that they've met now 4 days in a row is kind of news.
All right. Maybe what we need to do when they order lunch in, we need to get somebody in a waiter costume or something to, you know, from the catering company to go in there and give them some kind of Rudy speech.
There we go.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, this is just ridiculous. We're quickly moving in on the middle of November already, and they're not making progress. And for those of us that do 10 minutes of sports every morning, we can't do much more than three if we have nothing to talk about. Now I'm just being selfish, but I'm just saying. It's very disappointing. It really is very disappointing. I talked to somebody on the phone yesterday that said to me, you know, didn't they just have didn't they just lock out the players a couple years ago? Yeah. Didn't they do that a lot? Yeah. Okay. So, anyway. All right. Well, let's take the break here. We'll come back and take a look at the Michigan-Northwestern game. We'll take a look at the Lions and Minnesota, which is a big game for the Detroit Lions on Sunday. And we'll get this thing we call First Shift underway. Everybody stay right where they're at. Do want to remind you, if you want to join us at any time throughout this or any hour of the show, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And, of course, we're on Twitter at Tony Truppiano. Let's take a very quick break here, and we'll come back and give you some predictions for the weekend. Stay with us.
With Tony Truppiano. I've always thought it as something that's still holding the country back. You choose to love whoever you love. It's no different than discriminating against blacks. It's discrimination, plain and simple.
On 1310 WDTW.
I think it's the right thing to do, so whether it costs them votes or not, it's really not about votes, it's about people.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, and we're just following construction work on 94 westbound between Wayne Road and 275. Telegraph Road southbound at Maple, right two lanes are closed through November 16th, so watch for delays as your morning goes on. And on 75 north and south between the Davison and 7 Mile, left lane is going to be closed starting at 9 a.m. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 54. Tonight, a low of 46 with some showers. Tomorrow, 61 with showers in the morning and early afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Junior Senator from the state of Michigan, Debbie Stabenow, who joins us now.
You know, we in Michigan are a tough, independent lot. Folks expect you to work hard and earn their vote, and so I work hard to do that every day. And having lived in Michigan my whole life, I feel a real commitment to Michigan to make sure that I'm there in the middle of the fights that are going to make the difference for us.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Anthony rejoins me as we take a look at some predictions for the weekend. Michigan State has a bye week, so they have the week off. And as we talked last week, probably don't want the week off, especially after the bitter loss that they experienced, but that's okay. We move on. Anthony, let's take a look at the University of Michigan hosting Northwestern this weekend. Northwestern is 7-2, Michigan at 6-3. Your thoughts, good sir?
It's going to be a tough one. That offense for Northwestern is just, it's explosive. Fortunately, their defense isn't so explosive. So I am going to take Michigan, but it's going to be scary to see how we end up winning it. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means. Northwestern's not a joke anymore, and we better watch out.
All right. Denard Robinson is scheduled to start tomorrow, is he not?
Yes. How do you feel about that?
About him starting?
Yep.
As long as he's okay, I have no problem with it. We know that... Gardner will be the quarterback next year. I'm a patient guy. I can wait. You don't replace a Denard Robinson. You just don't. He is charismatic. He's not much of a passer, but certainly he's electric, and he gets he sets a different pace for a game. And I have no problem with that. I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna suggest that Michigan will win tomorrow. They're playing with a sense of urgency. They do have the number two defense in the country. That doesn't hurt. And so I would suggest that, you know, we're probably going to see, a tight game, but let's call it 24-21 Michigan at this point.
You think that low scoring between these two offenses?
I think that our defense will keep Northwestern at a minimum.
All right, yeah.
Well, you didn't offer a score. You want to throw one out there?
Yeah, I'll go 42-35 Michigan.
All right. Well, there you go. We'll find out on Monday how right or wrong either one of us was. Okay, let's move on. The Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. Anthony, this is, I'm going to suggest, not a must win, but maybe I am going to suggest it's a must win. For Detroit, they're at Minnesota. They need this game. They're 4-4, Minnesota being 5-4. I think Minnesota has played a little outplayed their talent level this season to this point. But I don't see this as being as tough as maybe some do. Not that they're going to go into Minnesota and walk all over the Vikings, because we never do that. and they always play us tough. And I don't know what it is about Jared Allen, but he always seems to have his best game of the year, which will be two every year, against the Detroit Lions. But I think Matt Stafford and his crew will be victorious, and I see Detroit coming coming out on top 31-21.
Yeah, I agree. It's must-win. I think every game's been must-win since we started off 1-3, so it's nothing new to them. But we're gonna go out there. We're gonna beat them. I mean, Christian Ponder is definitely not a good quarterback by any means. I know he hasn't turned the ball over a lot this year, but he also hasn't thrown that many. I don't know what the stat is, but there's some crazy stat to where he doesn't even throw the ball over 10 yards at all. You know, most of his completions are under 10 yards. So I'm going to take the Lions, even though Adrian Peterson will have his game, but we'll win by at least 10 points.
All right. Well, there we go. We pretty much are on the same page there. So that's what we've got going on this weekend. We wouldn't dare. Here, if the Pistons are playing, they will lose. How's that? And that's that. All right. Well, that's sports for this week, and we'll check in on Monday morning. We'll let you know how we did, how the teams did. And this will be the first post-election weekend where that's not true. I have the Douglas Debs dinner tomorrow night. I was going to say that I don't have anything to do. So, and that's not true next weekend or the weekend after that. So never mind. Forget that I said that. I've still got a pretty active speaking schedule moving forward. I do want to remind you, if there is a meeting you'd like me to go to, if there's somewhere you'd like me to speak, well, all you need to do is ask. If I've got time on my schedule, I'm happy to accommodate you. I will repeat this because I still get this question. I do not charge to speak. So if you'd like me to come speak to your group, organization, union hall, whatever it might be, just send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org, tony@thetonyshow.org. And again, if I don't have a conflict on my schedule, I am happy to accommodate you. So let me know. Well, again, I said this during our opening monologue. The Romney campaign has conceded Florida to the president. Now, what that really means is that in all of the swing states, the only one the president didn't carry was North Carolina, and it was very, very close. Now, and conversely, some of the swing states that he did win was very close as well, but he won, and that's the bottom line. Just as Mitt Romney, you know, once you win, it's that 50.1%, you know, it's a win. A victory is a victory, and you don't start counting votes once you win them, right? It's only when you lose them, and you wait, that was awfully close. So congratulations to the Obama camp for picking up the state of Florida and keeping it blue. You know, really kind of impressive if you stop and think about what the president accomplished in this election, being that he really did have a lot going against him. And the question we need to ask ourselves, and you know, of course, I read this somewhere yesterday, and don't ask me where because I read lots of stuff yesterday. But the question was, did Obama win or did Romney lose? And you know the difference between the two. Don't split hairs with me. Was this more an indictment on how poorly the Romney campaign was run, or was it confidence in the president to move us forward? I'm going to suggest it's the latter, although there's plenty of reasons to suggest why Romney lost. I think he was a pretty horrible candidate. We're going to listen to some audio a little later from my gal pal, Ann Coulter, who has a real skewed vision of how the campaign worked, but we'll get to that in a few. I do believe that it was not as much as an indictment on Romney as it was in support of the president, his vision, and his agenda. Ultimately, the American people are fairly compassionate people. Ultimately, we want to play fair. Most of us do. And I think that the election result is clearly sent a message that we need to do more to help to be our brother's or sister's keeper. I also think what helped a great deal was the women vote. The women vote came in remarkably strong for the president because they were calling it the rape slate. All of those, the Todd Akins, the, you know, all those guys that were, you know, if you're raped, God meant it to happen, or whatever the hell they said. It was just ridiculous. But that didn't help the Republicans at all. And I don't want to throw that on Romney. I'm going to throw that on the Republicans because people were voting in mass against that idea. So stop and think for a moment how things could have gone differently in the for the Republicans in this campaign. Well, where would we begin? We could fill the entire probably week of shows with the mistakes that they made. Let's take a quick break here. We'll get to some audio on the other side. You're also welcome to join us if you've got something on your mind. We're going to put the election away after today, and we're just going to, first word, look forward. 888-552-3595. This is for a shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Checking your traffic, and we're just following construction work on 94 westbound between Wayne Road and 275. Telegraph Road southbound at Maple, right two lanes are closed through November 16th, so watch for delays as your morning goes on. And on 75 north and south between the Davison and 7 Mile, left lane is going to be closed starting at 9 a.m. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's and try a new cheddar bacon onion Angus third pounder or premium chicken sandwich made with white cheddar cheese, grilled onions, and hickory smoked bacon to provide you with a premium one-of-a-kind taste experience. The new cheddar bacon onion, available for a limited time only. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 54. Tonight, a low of 46 with some showers. Tomorrow, 61 with showers in the morning and early afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Today, I am notifying the honchos of Bain Capital, Blackstone Group, and other big-time private equity funds that my little company, Saddleburr Productions, can be had for a price. I published this notice in response to a recent news item revealing that these funds have a perplexing problem. They have too much money on hand. In all, they're holding $1 trillion that super-rich speculators have entrusted to them. Private equity funds are corporate predators that borrow from the rich and then buy out targeted corporations, dismantle them, and sell off the parts for a fat profit. However, in these iffy economic times, these flush funds have hesitated to do big takeovers, so they're sitting on all that cash, which they refer to as dry powder. Under the rules of this high-stakes casino game, however, firms have to spend their borrowed money by a set time or give it back, and the clock is ticking. So, using Wall Street's macho lingo, the big players have announced that they're ready to go elephant hunting and are prepared to fire big bucks to bag some companies. To which I say, fire away at Saddleburr Productions. Okay, my company is hardly an elephant, but maybe it could be what the equity hucksters refer to as a hot potato. That's when one firm grabs a company just to sell it to another firm, which might pass it off to yet another. They are expected to spend more than $22 billion this year selling hot potatoes to each other, in part just to move cash out the door so they don't have to give it back. This is Jim Hightower saying, believe it or not, this is what passes for good business sense in the truly screwy world of private equity. All they're doing is churning money, producing absolutely nothing, except, of course, huge fees for the churners. Think what good that $22 billion would do if it were put into the real economy. But if that's the game, hey, put me in the mix. $1 billion sounds about right.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. In a
blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan. There's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock, I was talking about the Douglas Debs dinner. It's going to be tomorrow night at UAW Local 600 on Dix in Dearborn. John Nichols will be the keynote speaker. Listen, you can still get tickets, although they were selling quickly. But you need to RSVP to David Green ASAP. You can call him. You might want to wait till after 8 or 9 o'clock at 248-761-4203. 248-761-4203. Find out about availability. It's going to be a great evening, great food, great progressives. The Douglas Debs dinner is sponsored by the Democratic Socialists of America, DSA, who is joining forces with the Progressive Democrats of America to start a Detroit chapter, which I am going to be a part of, and very much looking forward to that. If any of you are interested, send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org, and I'll send you information as we get ready to put this together. Just put PDA in the subject heading, and when we're ready to meet, I will let you know where and when and all the particulars. But tonight, or I'm sorry, tomorrow night at 6 p.m., UAW Local 600, and that's at 10550 Dix in Dearborn. John Nichols will be the keynote speaker. Steve Babson, who's on the show today, is one of the recipients of this wonderful evening, an award. So, you know, if you think you want to do it, 248-761-4203. All right. That's that. Okay, I said after today we're really, for all intents and purposes, we're going to put the election behind us. We have to. We have to move on at some point, and I feel no particular reason to post-mortem much beyond today, because it just doesn't make sense to do that. We have to start thinking and looking, again, going back to our first word, forward. We have to do that for a variety of reasons, but most of them is because we can't. We certainly can't change the result. Some of us would want to. Some of us would. But we can't change the result. And it doesn't do a whole lot of good to sit and cry in our beer over things that either didn't happen the way we hoped they would, or you celebrate too heartily over the things that did happen. We just have to be careful that we don't, you know, that we don't get mired in the past too much. As we often do in politics, sometimes we try to hold on to those victories, if you will, as there's some kind of badge of honor. And they are to a degree, but again, you got to move on. You got to move forward. Well, the Republicans are literally just not knowing how to move forward. So many stories coming out post-election of the mistakes that the Romney campaign made, how wrong they were. They used a brand new system called Orca, as in Orca the whale, to do their ground operation on GOTV. It didn't work. It failed miserably. I could go on and on and on. But Ann Coulter was on the Laura Ingraham show and was asked about this latest defeat. And I think you're going to find this exchange quite, entertaining. Let's listen.
I think your analysis is more hopeful than mine. I should probably stay away from radio and TV for the next week, because I'm pretty pessimistic about the country. I think, despite what you said being true, I think Romney ran just on his own force of will, a magnificent campaign. I think he was the perfect candidate.
You think he ran a magnificent campaign?
Yes.
On what basis are you saying that?
Yes.
He got his clock cleaned.
How did he
run a positive, a magnificent campaign, Ann? I can't believe Ann Coulter, who is a truth teller on issues from the economy to social issues to racial demagoguery, is saying that Romney ran a magnificent campaign with Eric Fernstrom and Stu Stevens at the helm. How could you possibly conclude that?
No, I said he did. I didn't say the campaign was magnificent. It was better than Ronald Reagan's. There were no, Romney didn't, they had to start inventing gaffes out of thin air. Romney is the first Republican candidate I've seen where I don't get nervous when he talks. He's a beautiful speaker. He's articulate. He has an articulate vice president, something Reagan certainly did not have. He was so good in the debate, as I knew he would be. He had a serious plan for fixing real problems. He concentrated on jobs. That was the important issue. He concentrated on the economy. We have 8%, more than 8% unemployment. People are suffering. The country is in disarray. If Mitt Romney cannot win in this economy, then the tipping point has been reached. We have more takers than makers, and it's over.
I think he was the best president
we could have right now. I mean, it isn't so much that Obama won re-election. The country has barely survived 4 years with him. I think Mitt Romney was the president we needed right now, and I think it is so sad that we are going to be deprived of his brain power, of his skills in turning companies around, turning the Olympics around, his idea and his kindness for being able to push very conservative ideas on a country that no longer is interested in conservative ideas, that it is interested in handouts.
Now,
yeah, let me remind you of something that Ann Coulter just said. There are more takers than makers. And we're hearing this theme in different ways. Rush Limbaugh called it the Santa Claus effect, said that Obama is Santa Claus. Take that for what it's worth. But that's how the Republicans are going to start to spin this, is that it was the takers that came out to vote, and the makers didn't vote in big enough numbers. And then we can have that discussion about, well, why didn't they? Why didn't the makers show up in big enough numbers? Well, you know, let's just be honest about one thing. Mitt Romney was not a great candidate. In fact, I could easily make the case that he was one of the worst candidates ever to run for the presidency. Now, you can, and when you stop and think about the last election between, in 08, between Barack Obama and John McCain, although John McCain lost by a much larger margin than Mitt Romney did, Barack Obama had no business winning this election. He had no business winning this election, and it's not even any fault of his for that. It's because, for a variety of reasons, mostly obstructionism by the Republican-controlled House, the last 2 years of the president's term, their number one goal was to not allow him to pass anything, any progress that was made in the last 2 years was via executive order. Now we have this quote-unquote fiscal cliff coming, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But the reality is that the Romney campaign was so bad that even in still an economy mired in slow-mo, this president was able to attract enough people. The ground game was great. They got out the vote, and we're going to listen to some audio in just a minute from Karl Rove saying that the president won by suppressing the vote. And you're going to find this absolutely fascinating. We'll get to it after the break. But, you know, interestingly, because we do postmortems on elections, Joe DeSana will be here later doing some postmortems on the election. You know, you have to learn. That's how you get better at it the next time. Anybody that's looking to run in 2016 is certainly going to break down what the Obama campaign did. They're going to break down what the Romney campaign did, what worked here, what didn't work there. And that's how you learn. That's how things change. The Obama campaign, as we suggested the other day, one of the things that they were very, very successful at and very good at was, after the 2008 elections, instead of closing down their campaign offices, they changed the name from Obama for America to Organizing for America. They kept many of those offices open. They got involved in local and statewide races with Democrats. They kept the infrastructure in place. They kept people plugged in. You know, they paid enough people to keep these initiatives strong. And before you knew it, it was time to go into re-election mode. everything was in place. The Romney campaign didn't have that. Now, that's going to be true of any incumbent should have an advantage in that regard, but not every incumbent has been as aggressive as Barack Obama has been with his ground game. And I'm going to suggest, and I think I can safely do this, that the Obama campaign really did change and rewrote the rules for running for the presidency. If everybody's smart, and I'm talking Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Green Party, I don't care who you are, if you're smart, you should follow the Obama model. Because ultimately, everything really does boil down to GOTV. Our own Chris Savage talked passionately, very active in getting out the vote. That is where it's won and lost. And the Romney campaign, I'm not suggesting that there weren't more Republican votes out there to be had. There were. They just didn't get them out to vote. And the Obama campaign got out their base and then some. By the way, independents broke for Obama. And normally they don't break for the incumbent. They break for the newcomer. So you can figure that one out on your own as well. All right, a quick break here. We'll come back and listen to Kyle Rove. We've got some other stuff to get to. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano on First Shift. Thanks for joining us on this early Friday morning. A quick break here. We'll come back and continue this wildness we call First Shift. Stay with us. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Recently on First Shift,
Pastor Reverend D. Alexander Bullock.
If we're organized, then we can push the elected officials to represent the people, to make sure that resources are expanded and spread throughout the region in a way that is equitable and helpful for all people. We should have no child left behind, no community left behind. We should not have a race to the bottom, but there should be a floor for the poor and indeed a roof for the rich.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310. WDTW.
Need a boost to be your best? Drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff in it, so you never crash or get the jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. New SK Energy Shots. Powerful, pure energy. Available at Rite Aid, GNC, CVS, and your local retailer.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Become informed, learn the truth, stand and be recognized.
You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM, and it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on our Friday morning program. Karl Rove. By the way, Karl Rove yesterday had a call with billionaire donors. And I think the way I understood the article, he was calling them one by one. I had posted that to Facebook and said, well, I wouldn't do to be on one of those calls. How do you say to somebody that gave you $100 or $150 million, sorry, dude? I can't imagine that that's an easy conversation. Even if Karl Rove took 10%, and I assure you he's taking more than 10% for his consulting fee, anywhere between $30 and $60 million ends up in or near his pocket. Of course, he's got to pay staff, and I don't know how many staff he has, but Karl Rove being Karl Rove, probably not many, because he likes money. He'd be one greedy guy. Anyway, yesterday on Fox News, this is what Karl Rove had to say about the election results on Tuesday.
Republicans lost in this election because of two things. One is that the Obama campaign was very effective in keeping roughly 92% of the people who voted for President Obama before to vote for him again. But they didn't do a good job of growing the electorate. I repeat, they got 9 million votes fewer, their margin shrunk by 6 million, and they cut their winning percentage by over Romney by about two-thirds from what it was over John McCain. And both parties have challenges. The Democrats, the only group that they got more votes this time around than they got 4 years ago, were among Latinos. About 700,000 more Latinos voted Democratic this year than before. But the president has a real, he succeeded by suppressing the vote, by saying to people, you may not like who I am, and I know you can't bring yourself to vote for me, but I'm going to paint this other guy as simply a rich guy who only cares about himself. 53% in the exit polls said that on Election Day that Mitt Romney's policies would only help the rich, and they voted for Obama by a 9-to-1 margin. Of the 21% of the electorate who said the most important characteristic in a president was that he cares about people for me, like me, they voted for President Obama by almost a 9-to-1 margin. Those they effectively denigrated Mitt Romney's character, business acumen, business experience.
But what do you do about that?
And made him a minimum worth.
Well, you know, what do you do about that? Because, all right, here, Karl, 9-to-1 margin. President cares. Hispanics heard that message. Latinos heard that message. Mitt Romney just wanted to help the wealthy. Well, that's what his policy said. So what that tells me is that the Latinos were paying attention more so than others. So why are you criticizing the process when it worked? Kind of odd. John Boehner sat down with Diane Sawyer with ABC News yesterday. They've got some challenges in front of them, and one of them is this thing called the fiscal cliff, which, again, I'm going to get to a little bit later on in the show today. But as we think about that, John Boehner, as the majority leader of the House, has some tough work in front of him. This is what he had to say to Diane Sawyer with regard to the Affordable Care Act.
A couple of other questions about the agenda now. You had said next year that you would repeal the health care vote. That's still your mission?
Well, I think the election changes that. It's pretty clear that the president was reelected. Obamacare is the law of the land. I think there are parts of the health care law that are going to be very difficult to implement and very expensive. And as a time when we're trying to find a way to create a path toward a balanced budget, everything has to be on the table.
But you won't be spending the time next year trying to repeal Obamacare.
There certainly may be parts of it that we believe need to be changed. We may do that. No decisions at this point.
Immigration?
It's an important issue that I think ought to be dealt with. This issue has been around far too long, and while I believe it's important for us to secure our borders and to enforce our laws, I think a comprehensive approach is long overdue. And I'm confident that the President, myself, others, can find the common ground to take care of this issue once and for all.
All right. Well, that's the beginning. We'll see what happens. Let's go to the phone. Welcome, Tom in Detroit. Tom, thanks for punching in this early morning. What's on your mind today, my friend?
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, you know, in terms of Boehner just going off, like James Brown said, talking loud and saying nothing. But anyway, I'll leave that alone. I was watching, I think it was MSN last night, MSNBC, and I think it was Lawrence O'Donnell, whoever it was. They had John McCain's daughter, Meghan McCain, and had another young guy on it. These folks they got to be in their 20s, if not their very young 30s. And they were talking about where the Republican Party is right now, and if they keep on going the way they're going to go out of existence. Meghan McCain said they won't matter anymore. I mean, they're on the road to oblivion. And, I mean, if you think about it, you know, even during the campaign, if you would take a snapshot of the crowds that Romney had and the snapshots of the crowds that President Obama had, there is a markedly difference in the crowd in terms of diversity.
No question, Tom. You know, we talked about that a bit on Wednesday, and I mean, there's some reality to that. And the question we had asked all morning long yesterday is the Republican brand dead? You know, do they need to reinvent themselves? And that's definitively clear. Even Rush Limbaugh said, what do we need to do to appeal to conservatives? Do we need to become a pro-choice party? You know, there are a lot of people that are stumped, Tom, and have no clue what the Republican brand is right now.
Yeah, and you know, I wrote a letter to that to the letter in terms of the Free Press and their article that they had yesterday about after the loss, you know, what now for the GOP, and I'm paraphrasing that. And I said this: they're going to have to be more open and welcoming to, you know, blacks, Hispanics, you know, the rainbow, okay, and even the LGBT group. They're going to have to be more open and accepting because, as they said, the demographics in this country has changed. There are not a lot of old white men here to vote, enough of them to vote to put another Republican of the kind right now.
Yeah, that's a perfect analogy, Tom, and we're just about to break for the top of the hour, so thanks for your call. Let me say this just to kind of add to that, and if we I'm sure we'll have time for some audio a little bit later on. There are a couple more things I want to get to, but the demographics are changing, and as younger voters become of voting age, when those that are 18, 19, 20, 21 become 22, 23, 24, 25, then, you know, 26 through 30, you know, the reality is LGBT issues are not issues to them, so it's not a big deal. Some of the things like gay marriage don't matter to that demographic, and these are people that are now voting, so yes. You know, I can be as fiscally conservative as I want to be and socially quite liberal. And who represents me? Well, right now it's more Democrats than Republicans. Republicans have a lot of work to do to rebrand themselves. And they need to start with looking in the mirror. That's where they need to start. All right, a quick break for the top of the hour. Congressman-elect Dave Kirsten, when we continue. This is First Shift, NBC News at the top of the hour. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Still accident-free on your Friday morning commute just following road construction. Reduced down to two lanes on 275 southbound between Ann Arbor Road and 94. More construction on westbound 94 between Wayne Road and 275. And don't forget about Telegraph Road southbound at Maple. Right two lanes are closed as scheduled through November 16th, so expect some delays later on this morning. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 54. Tonight, a low of 46 with some showers. Tomorrow, 61 with showers in the morning and early afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. President Obama will be talking about the economy today. NBC's Tracy Potts says he is expected to address the major issues, including the so-called fiscal cliff, in which certain spending cuts will become real in the new year.
The president will urge Congress to do one thing immediately, extend the Bush tax cuts. That means your tax rate would not go up as of January 1st.
The East Coast is a cold, dark place this morning for hundreds of thousands of people suffering through power outages from Hurricane Sandy and this week's nor'easter. Gas rationing is underway in post-Sandy New York City and Long Island. An experimental malaria vaccine has been disappointingly ineffective in testing in Africa. The vaccine by GlaxoSmithKline proved only 30% effective when given to babies. Microsoft founder Bill Gates has provided much of the development money for the vaccine. This is NBC News Radio. The Pentagon says a pair of Iranian fighter jets fired an unarmed U.S. Air Force drone on November 1st in international airspace in the Persian Gulf. NBC's Richard Engel.
This mission was classified, so why talk about it now? It seems that the Pentagon is trying to give a very public warning to Iran that if this kind of thing happens again, the U.S. could respond militarily.
26 military officers, including two generals, defected from the Syrian army to Turkey overnight. Turkish state radio says 11 colonels, two lieutenant colonels, two majors, four captains, and five lieutenants also crossed the border with their families and other foot soldiers. Seven members of the secretive Navy SEAL Team 6 are in serious trouble because of a video game called Medal of Honor, Warfighter. The seven are accused of divulging classified information to the game's maker. The punishments include a letter of reprimand and loss of pay. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
GEICO says, let's make life simpler.
It's ironic. Sometimes technology makes life more complicated. Take your TV, for example. How many remote control devices does it take to change a channel? GEICO, on the other hand, makes technology work for you. Your laptop, smartphone, tablet. No matter what device you have, no matter where you are, you're never more than a click or call away from GEICO. It really is as simple as that.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Want to really clean up for the holidays? Deck out your halls for less at Lumber Liquidators Flooring Sale. Our thickest laminates are up to 33% off. Plus, save up to 10% on all hand-scraped engineered hardwood and up to 10% on all hand-scraped bamboo. Better yet, get special extended financing. Plus, big savings on flooring tools and professional installation. Hurry, our flooring sale is going on now. So visit LumberLiquidators.com and find your local store today.
What happened to everyone's obsession with Groupon? The struggling company really wants to know. Stock in the online coupon company dropped to an all-time low in late trades after reporting a quarterly net loss of $3 million. That is far worse than Groupon's forecast. Black Ops 2, Assassin's Creed 3, and Halo 4 to the rescue. At least that's what the video game business is hoping. Those three game titles are released this month ahead of the holidays, and hopes are high. They have to be. Industry researcher NPD Group says sales last month for the industry tumbled 25% from a year ago. 1,500 people who work for Energizer Holdings soon will not be working for it. The company behind its namesake batteries, Schick Razors and Wet Ones, is cutting 10% of its workforce to save money. The move includes closing factories in Vermont and Missouri and reducing headcount at several other factories. Stock futures are mixing it. S&P futures down 2, NASDAQ futures up 2. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Ally Bank. Why they don't hide things in the fine print. That'll be $34.50.
I think the ad says it's half off.
If you look closely, it says only on Tuesdays.
It is Tuesday.
In October.
It is October.
During leap years.
This is a leap year.
After the first frost.
Oh, please.
Nobody likes when things are hidden in fine print. That's why Ally doesn't do it. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Member FDIC.
You just heard someone seeing pink in her sink after brushing.
She's screaming because she knows bleeding gums can mean gingivitis, and that can lead to tooth loss, gum surgery, and worse. Now, daily use of the Natural Dentist mouth rinse can stop bleeding gums. So stop the screams and start the anti-gingivitis treatment with the Natural Dentist mouth rinse at Walgreens, Whole Foods, and other stores.
If you like painting and saving money, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% off paints and stains during our four-day super sale, November 9th through the 12th. With 40% off our great paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Remember.
As you grab your time card and get ready to punch in, and as you dedicate another day to honoring your contract and your commitment to quality,
maybe it's time to reinforce to your boss and your elected representatives that they owe you for continuing to make their lives easier.
And that it is the work that you do that rewards them for the work that they do.
That it is because of you that progress is made.
That your sacrifices and your willingness to change help them grow.
And now it's time to honor what you have done.
And what you have done cannot be ignored any longer.
You will now raise your voice.
Your voice is now. First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is just 6 minutes after 7 o'clock here on this Friday, the 9th day of November 2012. It occurred to me today, as I was thinking about the show, that I have never in my radio career ever been able to literally interview my member of Congress, ever. Unfortunately, I've always lived in the wrong congressional district. Now, you know, state rep, yeah, senator, absolutely, both at the state and the federal level, but never my member of Congress. I'm going to change that in about 20 seconds, and I'm happy to say that. Since July 6th, just over four months now, I have been without representation in Congress. Joining me now is the next congressman from the old 11th Congressional District, my congressman-elect from the old 11th Congressional District, Dave Kersen. Congressman-elect, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony. Good morning.
I cannot begin to express to you my gratitude for the phone call you made to me on Wednesday. Dave, I just can't thank you enough for remembering me and thanking me for helping you. But, sir, this is all your work.
Well, Tony, it's a whole lot of people's work. It never would have happened without so many people that had the faith that we could actually change the look in Washington and hopefully maybe change the work that they do there. Just a small bit of effort to break that gridlock and move this whole country forward.
Well, I got to ask you, you know, this is going to be a little unlike most of the interviews you've done, and that's, I feel like you and I are friends now, Dave, so I'm going to just ask, what was it like when you finally got the call, hey, Dave, it's yours, you're the next congressman from the 11th, what was that moment like for you?
Well, first I had to get out of the way so I didn't get trampled by my wife, but Tony, it was truly, I had a belief all through this that right will win, that somehow a statement would be made, even when they declared Bentivoglio the winner, and 69% of the precincts were in. I knew those precincts that weren't counted were precincts that were going to be for me, so I got a lot of condolence messages, and I told them all, you know, she may be humming, but she ain't singing yet. We're still in there. Keep the faith. And I just thank the Lord that right won in this particular case.
Yeah, and that is true. And certainly, you know, we take a look at the results you did win over Republican Kerry Bentivoglio by a 48-46 mark. You know, certainly, obviously, Wayne County helped a great deal. And, of course, you know, Dave Kirsten, there's that part of us that says, had they had not gerrymandered this district as well, you know, we'd be sending two Democrats to Congress. Unfortunately, the result didn't go the way we had hoped for your very good friend, Dr. Syed Taj. But, Dave, we now need to look forward. You have six very short weeks to accomplish a great deal. And obviously, agenda item number one, besides getting the desk cleared off, because there are going to be lots of little requests that matter to those people that have made them. You talked about this when we had you on last Friday's show when we were over at AFSCME, and you said, you know, there are people that need recommendations for military schools and et cetera. You've got a lot of that waiting for you. There's no question that's true. But the fiscal cliff is also upon us, and being the negotiator that you are, I'm assuming you're actually looking forward to this debate.
Well, I definitely am, and since that moment that we knew that we were headed to Washington, we have been engaged with a number of people in Washington. Some of the strategies are starting to get rolled out. We're in a lot of discussion. And what you said about the offices, the district office in particular, we met yesterday, and we are going to have that up and running Monday. We'll be bringing staff in, and by the end of the week, we hope to have it fully functional. And that's one of my goals, is to have a vibrant district office, because my whole life I've taken care of the guys with the little problems. When I say little, when you do legislation, you affect the whole country. But a guy that has a problem with immigration, a guy that has a problem with his Social Security, that's a huge problem to him. And it's the congressional's duty to work him through those problems. So I'm going to have a staff, and we're going to work hard, and we're going to get that district office rolling so people that have those issues will have someone to turn to. And hopefully, once that office is rolling and we have a lot of good things in the system, when we turn it over to the congressman that's going to take that office over, that system will be well in play.
Now, let's hope that they just take your lead and follow where it is you're going to be taking this. Dave, I believe you're leaving for Washington, D.C. Very, very soon. Of course, there's been an expedited process in place. The Michigan Secretary of State did send a letter to Congress yesterday, basically certifying your election so that you can be sworn in. When do you plan to be sworn in? Have they given you a day yet?
Yes, I'm leaving, loading up the pickup truck, and I'm leaving tomorrow. The first session of the lame duck session is Tuesday the 13th, and during that session at 6:30 p.m., they've scheduled my swearing in.
All right. Well, it's going to be very exciting. Before I go any further, though, I also need to thank your wife, Sharon. She has made communication with you literally flawless and made this process so much easier for those of us in the media. You obviously have a very good partner there, both in life and in business.
She's been my communication director for over 20 years.
She's just amazing. I absolutely adore her. You know, Dave, when I got news, and by the way, I got the news from you. When you left that message, it was before I had received it any other way. I couldn't have been happier. As I said, this is the first time I'm actually interviewing my own congressman, because you do represent me, and I'm very proud of that, Dave Kirsten.
Well, Tony, I contribute a lot of this victory to you, because we ran on a shoestring. We did a few mailings, but we had an army of volunteers knocking on doors and carrying literature, and you give me the opportunity to talk to people that were involved in the election directly. And I think that message just carried. People wanted change. They wanted somebody that believed that they can go and make a difference.
You know, and Dave, let's just be honest about this, because I, you know, for people that aren't as involved in these things as you and I have been through our lives, You know, people were very excited about what you represented, about the way you spoke, the genuine, the authentic, the authenticity of your message. I mean, there's something to be said just about telling the truth, isn't there?
Without a question, I think people can accept the truth as long as they trust who's telling it to them. And that's the way we try to teach our union reps. If you simply tell the person the truth, they'll understand. And that's successful. And I believe that if people had listened to Dr. Taz's message, and rather than just going in and pulling that R, he would be going and taking over this office when I leave in January.
Yeah, unfortunately, that didn't happen. You know, we talked a great deal over the last couple of days about low-information voters, and unfortunately, there are a lot of people that just aren't as plugged into the political process as we would like them to be. I think that that's a sentiment that's shared by both Republicans and Democrats, and certainly had they have been paying attention, that is the Republicans in the new 11th, especially in the newer part of the 11th, there would be a different result. For now, though, it's about you. And for now, Dave Kirsten, we can say that the 11th Congressional District, for the first time in over a decade, does not have an eccentric whack job, if you'll excuse that eloquency, serving us. And I know that you're going to make us all proud. I can't imagine that this is just going to be nothing but a whirlwind for you, and I'm sure it'll be over as quickly as it came together. But what a wonderful opportunity to make your mark. And listen, you will forever be a congressman, and that's not a bad deal.
It truly is, Tony, and I'm going to tell you that at least for a few short moments, there's going to be a progressive voice on the floor from the 11th District.
If you could see the smile on my face right now, Dave, you'd know I couldn't agree with you more. Dave, my thoughts and prayers are with you and Sharon and with the country as you face some serious tasks and over the next 6 weeks. Obviously, if there's anything we can do for you while you're serving this wonderful district, you let us know. You've got carte blanche to get on this show anytime.
Be the first to get them.
All right. Dave Kirsten, thank you so much. Blessings to you, my friend. Congratulations, and thank you for making me a proud, proud member of the 11th Congressional District.
Thanks, Tony.
All right. Dave Kirsten, once again, got Congressman-elect Dave Kirsten, once again. Wow. What a great day. What a great moment for this country, for this district, for this state. And he is right. For the first time, a progressive voice representing the 11th. That really sounds great, doesn't it? Let's take a quick break here. We'll be back on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your Friday commute, we just picked up a disabled vehicle that's blocking the right lane on 96 westbound just after Farmington Road. And we got some slow traffic on southbound 75 between 13 Mile and 8 Mile. Road construction, 75 both directions between the Michigan-Ohio State line and 275. More work on 94 westbound between Wayne Road and 275. And on 75 north and south between the Davidson and 7 Mile, left lane is going to be closed starting at 9 a.m. and going until 3. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 54. Tonight, a low of 46 with some showers. Tomorrow, 61 with showers in the morning and early afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Feel free to join us if you'd like. We're going to be open till the bottom of the hour, where we're going to also visit with another winner. Bridget Mary McCormick will be joining us at 7:35. But I wanted to get to one piece of audio. Then I want to talk about a statewide story that is profoundly important. President Obama, before he left to return to Washington, D.C. yesterday, spoke to his campaign staff in Chicago. That's where the campaign was headquartered. Romney's was in Boston, for those of you that are not aware of that. The president spoke to these young folks, and they are young folks that run these campaigns. He got a little, well, emotional. This is what the president had to say.
And I grew up. I became a man during that process. And so when I come here and I look at all of you, what comes to mind is it's not that you guys actually remind me of myself. It's the fact that you are so much better than I was in so many ways. You're smarter and you're better organized, and you're more effective. And so I'm absolutely confident that all of you are going to do just amazing things in your lives. And, you know, the what Bobby Kennedy called the ripples of hope that come out when you throw a stone in a lake, that's going to be you. You know, I'm just looking around the room and I'm thinking, wherever you guys end up, in whatever states, in whatever capacities, whether you're in the private sector, the non-for-profit, or some of you decide to go into public service, you're just going to do great things. And that's why, even before last night's results, I felt that the work that I had done in running for office had come full circle. Because what you guys have done means that the work that I'm doing is important. And I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud of all of you. And
Yeah, it was really a great speech, and the president, a lot of reasons to get emotional. We should be very proud of somebody that's not afraid to show their emotions, and certainly we are very proud of President Barack Obama. Thrilled that the American people saw things the way you and I do, well, most of us do. And I find it interesting. I received a lot of emails yesterday. Patty, if you're listening, I really thought the one you sent me the other day from your aunt in California was quite interesting. Those that listen to Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh, Bill O'Reilly, Fox News, they think the world's coming to an end. And I don't know what they're saying there because I don't watch Fox News. Somebody criticized me the other day for saying that, and you really need to know what the other side's saying. I know what the other side's saying. I read conservative blogs. I read conservative websites. I know what the other. I don't need to watch Fox News to know what the other side's saying. I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to get all freaking pissed off watching and listening to Fox News because it's just bullcrap. It's a waste of time. So, yeah, but that if that's your source, then, you know, of course, let me remind you, Fox News wouldn't call the election. Everybody had called it but Fox News. What's that all about? Fair and balanced. Do they even use that anymore? Does anybody know if they use fair and balanced anymore? I wouldn't know. I'm just being honest. I don't watch Fox News. I have no use for Fox News. But if that's your sort, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, if that's your source, Laura Ingraham, that's your source, you're getting a very skewed, very messed up view of what's happening in this country. And let me make that point in the simplest way. The vast majority of Americans voted to reelect Barack Obama. If Fox News was right, and they are the largest cable outlet in the world, the largest, then Mitt Romney would have won. So let's be real careful how we digest this information. Fair enough? You just have to be careful. As I've said to you many, many times, challenge me on every word I say. I have no problem with that at all. Has Fox News ever said, go on, test us. Go on, prove us wrong. Because we could, easily. And here's the difference. Most of what I tell you is based on fact. If it's my opinion, you know it's my opinion. Well, Fox News is based mostly on opinion, not on fact. And as a result of that, they skew what they deliver to you. And you know, again, it's not like Rush Limbaugh, no different than the Tony Trupiano show. We present facts, and then we skew things, and I'm including myself in that. We skew things to our point of view. But it's based on fact. That's not true of the right. That is just not true of the right. They're in disarray this morning. The right is in total disarray this morning. They have no idea how to move forward. They have no idea how to move sideways. They don't even know if they should move backward. Here's the problem, and it's very simple. Foundationally, a simple problem. There are no longer enough white men to elect a president. Okay? That demographic has changed. We said that earlier on the show. The demographic has changed, folks. So if you are a Republican and you represent a conservative point of view, and here's the mistake the Republicans made with the Latino vote. They assume Latinos are conservative because they are a very religious people. They're very socially conscious people who happen to have profound religious beliefs. We should not. Let me be careful when I say this. I wanted to say it loud and clear. Never, ever, ever assume that because somebody has a spiritual backbone that they are conservative. That is not necessarily true. You can't automatically make that leap. You just can't. Somebody that has a profound spiritual guide to their lives isn't necessarily conservative. And that's the mistake. That's the biggest mistake I think the GOP made, is they just assumed, I think they do a lot of assuming, I think they do a ton of assuming. And it got them in trouble in this election. Pretty simple. I mean, this is pretty simple stuff. The Democratic Party represents hope. It represents diversity. It represents progress. It represents forward movement. It represents diversity. And it is a more accurate reflection of what society has become. And so the Democratic Party continues to stay relevant cycle after cycle after cycle because they have adapted to society. As societies change, so have they. That is not true of Republicans. And that's not my opinion. That is fact. That is just pure and simple fact. Republicans, wake up. You need to find a way to become relevant if you don't want to be left behind. 2016 is the Democrats to lose at this point. They'll hold on to it, folks. We have the presidency for a long, long time unless the Republicans figure something else out. And I don't see them doing it. Bridget Mary McCormick, when we continue, another victory, another celebration here on First Shift. And we got more of them this morning. Don't go anywhere. We'll continue on 1310 WDTW right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we picked up a serious accident on 75 northbound just after Clark Street that leaves only the right lane open, and you have stop-and-go traffic from Livernois. And also use some caution because debris is scattered across the freeway. Now on 96 westbound after Farmington, that disabled vehicle has been cleared. All lanes are now open. And on 75 southbound between 13 Mile and 8 Mile, traffic is creeping along there. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 54. Tonight, a low of 46 with some showers. Tomorrow, 61 with showers in the morning and early afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. AFL-CIO Political Director Michael Podhorzer says it was working-class rejection of Bush-Romney-Ryan economics that drove victories for President Obama and U.S. Senate candidates in Ohio and across the country. Podhorzer says that Labor's massive ground game also delivered by reaching working-class voters with a focused message on economics, especially in battleground states. Households with at least one union member and working America households voted 66% for Obama. Working America is a community affiliate of the AFL-CIO, active in several states. Its members are not union members. AFL-CIO Secretary-Treasurer Liz Shuler says that volunteer activists who make Labor's campaign ground game happen are very passionate, and they're motivated by a variety of individual reasons, but also share basic values and beliefs.
They all have unique reasons, really, for what drives their activism, but they also all have a common belief system and set of values that bring them to this campaign. And that is, of course, preserving the middle class, fighting for good jobs and investments in education and health care, and making sure that we all play by the same rules. I mean, it actually makes you want to cry, the passion behind what drives these folks. So that's what cuts through the noise, right, of all these negative ads, and what really has made a victory for working families across this country.
Westgate Resorts founder David Siegel made headlines in October after sending out a letter telling his employees he'd likely need to cut back on staff if President Barack Obama won in his reelection bid. Instead, he gave them raises. On average, every Westgate employee will see an increase of 5% in their paycheck starting this week. Siegel told Bloomberg Businessweek that he made the decision so his employees can better, quote, handle the additional burdens the government will put on them, end quote. More labor unrest is gripping South Africa, Jesse Russell reports.
A farm owner has been arrested in the Western Cape of South Africa for attempted murder after firing on protesting farm workers. The workers have been protesting since October 30th, demanding higher wages. The workers allege that the government wasn't paying attention to their demands, so some farm workers set fire to a vineyard in protest. The workers earn on average the equivalent of $8 per day, and they argue that isn't enough to support a family and feed their children. They've dubbed the wage a hunger wage. They're demanding that commercial farmers growing grapes and citrus for export should pay the equivalent of $17 per day. The farming unrest in the Western Cape comes at the same time as South Africa is seeing labor unrest in other industries, most notably mining. gold, coal, diamond, platinum, and iron mines have all seen workers put down tools and walk off the job, demanding better wages and working conditions.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock. Good morning to you. As you're scuttling about, getting ready to go to work on your commute, enjoying a cup of coffee, or whatever it is you do, besides listen to the show while you're driving and drive safely, we are continuing to bring you victory, victory, victory. We enjoyed our conversation just a short while ago with Dave Kirsten, who is the congressman-elect in the old 11th Congressional District. You know, sometimes it is the sweetest victory, the ones that say we can't win. Well, that was one of them. One they said we could win actually is appropriate for my next guest. I don't know, and no disrespect to Connie Kelly and Sheila Johnson, and I mean no disrespect to them at all. They worked very hard. But Bridget McCormick, and in fact, the very first time I interviewed her, I actually talked to her about how well her campaign was doing. She was utilizing social media in a very unconventional way. She, of course, couldn't be both in the classroom, a mother of four, a candidate for the state Supreme Court, and travel the entire state. So she did the next best thing. She virtually traveled the entire state. Well, folks, I'm happy to say it worked in spades. And although she joined us many times throughout the campaign, and we had that very difficult little thing, a million-dollar problem at the end, it didn't work as we predicted it wouldn't. And we want to congratulate and welcome back to First Shift the Supreme Court Justice-elect, Bridget Mary McCormick. Bridget, congratulations.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for that nice message, and for all of your help throughout. It was really kind of you to let me have me on your show as often as you did, so your viewers could, your listeners could get to know me. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, you and I talked about this during the campaign. I've got to give a lot of credit to your campaign. Certainly, the Michigan Democratic Party certainly understood the importance of the Supreme Court, and they were, of course, very helpful with all of the campaign, with all three of you. And I'm sure that there is a bit of sadness that you're not being joined by Connie and Sheila. At the same time, we need to celebrate a resounding victory for you. You were the top vote getter in this election for the Supreme Court.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I was, and I'm pleased with that. I do think we ran a good campaign. We did some things that I don't think had been done before in a Supreme Court race, and to make sure we could get the message out and teach more people about who I was. But of course, I will miss Connie and Sheila, who became extremely good friends on the campaign trail, and I feel like they worked extremely hard themselves and are both terrific judges, and there is for me, you know, sadness in not having them with me.
Well, you know, let's also talk about the real victory here. I want to remind people that, as we did during the election, this was a nonpartisan race. And so now we send somebody that's not a Democrat, but somebody that is a socially conscious and understands the plight of working class men and women, someone who is not obligated to special interests. And Bridget, I think that was one of the goals for this campaign, was to make sure that we not just nominated but elected people with those values. And I feel very comfortable you're one of those people.
Yeah, Tony, I think you should feel comfortable. I spent a lot of time talking about exactly that, and I honestly believe, I've been teaching it to law students now for 16 years, that our court works best to protect all of our, you know, families and communities when it really follows the rule of law and not politics. And that's what I hope to bring to the court.
Well, let's talk about the process moving forward. You obviously have to resign your position at the University of Michigan. I would imagine your students were both excited for you and a little disappointed, Bridget. Let's be honest about it. You have become a fixture at the University of Michigan Law School.
Yeah, and you know, I feel the same way. I mean, I'm excited about the victory, but I've been at the law school the last couple of days because I teach and my regular life goes on, and it's been kind of melancholy because, you know, it's been my home for a long time and it's a great home, and I will really miss my colleagues, my students, and the whole university, which is a tremendous university.
Well, let's talk about your family's reaction election night. It got a little interesting because you didn't not like President Obama. You had to wait a little longer for your result. How did your family finally respond to this?
You know, we were still awake at about 2 or 3 checking results in my kids, and my dad, my 73-year-old dad, and I find in Detroit, and I finally said to my dad, you know what, take the kids home, let them get in bed because they were going to go to school the next day, and you need to get in bed. And I think you can feel confident that I'm going to be in the top two. At that point, I was leading, and it seemed as though, given what was still out, I would probably win, but we didn't know when they went to bed.
Well, it has to be very exciting for your entire family. And, of course, you know, the conversation we had a couple times, which was the conversation that started all this, you and your husband, you know, him saying, you know, Bridget, you should really consider doing this. It went from a simple conversation to now you are a Supreme Court justice elect here in the state of Michigan. What an amazing, amazing honor. And I know you're honored by this selection. I truly know that, Bridget.
No, I really am. I feel really, really honored by the people who supported me and voted for me. You know, you're right. In some ways, I was an unusual candidate. It was, you know, an idea we had. I don't think I was a traditional candidate or one necessarily who people would have gone looking for. But I have a real passion for the way our courts operate and the way they operate for regular people. And I've been working on that my whole career. And I am very honored by all of the different people who stepped up to support me and worked hard for me, and without their help, I couldn't be here.
Well, I think it's just an amazing opportunity for the court, certainly for the state, and soon enough, you'll be hearing Justice McCormick a whole lot, so just get used to that title. It's got to be a little bit weird. You are now Justice McCormick. How exciting.
I know it doesn't sound quite right to me yet, but I guess when enough people say it, maybe it'll sink in. I tried it out with my kids, and they were unwilling to use it. So
you know,
you're just mom.
Yeah, yep. That's one of the realities. I was just telling somebody the other day that the president tells a story about eating dinner with the kids every night as often as he possibly can, anyway, and he's always the last one to get asked, how was your day or how are you doing? Because when he's at home, he's just dad. He's not President Obama. So.
Right.
Well, listen, I won't keep you any longer, Bridget. I so appreciate you spending a little time. We did want to congratulate you. Thank you so much for everything you did to get to this point. We, of course, have every confidence that you are going to be the right person. I'm going to go back to something you said on this show a little over a month ago. It's great when when this woman is the right man for the job. So congratulations to you,
Tony.
Again and to your family. We appreciate it a great deal.
Thank you for everything, Tony, and I hope we'll stay in touch.
Absolutely we will. Thanks so much. Bridget Mary McCormick, Justice Bridget Mary McCormick. How very special for all of us. Again, we are a bit saddened. I have to tell you that I've broken down the numbers in the Supreme Court race, and unfortunately, there were still people that didn't vote the nonpartisan part of their ballot, and that's just an unfortunate truth. You look at the drop-off, and here's the problem. You have the – I'm going to use the state school boards as an example, Michigan Regents, Michigan State Trustees. You had a lot more people voting in those races than in the Supreme Court race. Ask the question why. Okay, you did. Those are partisan races. So if you voted straight ticket, straight Democrat, straight Republican, you automatically voted for those seats. Turning that ballot over, which isn't that hard. People just don't do it. And it is true, even though Bridget Mary McCormick did very, very well, Justice Markham did very, very well, and Justice O'Brien did well enough to win, you really saw the drop-off in the numbers between the state boards and the Supreme Court, which is just unconscionable. Not to mention the other nonpartisan judgeships where you saw even a bigger divide, where the, obviously there were people that voted for the Supreme Court but didn't vote for the circuit courts. I don't get it. And then there were those of you, and I actually heard somebody in line say, well, isn't it funny when you get that vote for two and there are only two? Why bother voting? Because it matters to those that are running. That's why you bother voting. It just disturbs me. I don't know how we, I mean, I think we did a, certainly did we did a better job, and I don't have the exact numbers yet, and I'm going to break them percentage-wise. I'll break those down. I'll compare them to the 2008 numbers. But folks, you know, part of being engaged in this democracy is being fully engaged, not partially engaged. And there's nothing inconvenient. You're already there to vote. Vote! It didn't take me that long to vote. I had 4 pages. I had 4 pages of ballot. Not everybody did. I did. It didn't take me that long to vote, especially since one of those, I voted straight Democrat. So that was 1 page done with filling in one little circle or oval. All right? The rest gets simple. I did my homework. I bought my cheat sheet. I did my ballot. Life was good. Why we have to make this so unfair? Because it's unfair to those candidates not to vote for them. All right. When we come back, Steve Babson's going to join us. Steve's actually going to be honored at the Douglas Debs dinner tomorrow night in Dearborn. But he has a foreclosure to share with us, and he needs our help tomorrow. If you can show up and show your support for a family that desperately needs our support. We haven't done this in a while, so we're doing this a lot during the Occupy movement. And anyway, people before banks, Steve Babson, when we continue here on First Shift. Stay with us.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310
WDTW. Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now, director of Hellbound, Kevin Miller.
Yeah, well, definitely. And that's something I would say, is that this debate over hell, some people might say, I don't need to watch that film, I don't believe in hell. Well, in Hellbound, what we do is we draw a connection between what we believe in and the kind of world we create. And underlying every society is some form of worldview that is going to give rise to an internal set of values which we externalize into laws and all that sort of thing. And so if the foundation of your worldview includes a God who ultimately uses violence as a problem solver, we're going to become a very violent people.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock as we work our way through the second hour of our program. I'm actually honored to bring on our next guest. I'm not honored as to why we're doing it. I'll get to that in just a moment. But I am happy to tell you, as I did earlier on in the show, that my next guest will be honored tomorrow at the Douglas Debs dinner, which I am thrilled to be the co-chair of. And look forward to that tomorrow evening. But before the celebrating, unfortunately, we have to focus on a negative. And I have to tell you, this is not the first time Steve Babson and I have talked. Steve is, of course, a labor educator, a union activist with the People Before Banks. Unfortunately, this is not his first foreclosure, working on stopping a foreclosure. And I look forward to the day where we can put this nonsense behind us. But first of all, Steve Babson, let me welcome you back to First Shift and say good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Happy to be here.
I appreciate it. Steve, we need to tell another story. You and I have done this a few times already, and unfortunately, I think we're going to be continuing to tell this story for a little while. Could you tell us a little bit about the Jerry Culler family and what's going on there?
Well, Jerry Cullers and his family live in Rosedale Park here in Detroit, and they are among the many thousands of folks who have been struggling to pay their mortgage in a depressed economy. Jerry is a retired bakery truck driver here in Detroit, and Wonder Bread went into bankruptcy, and Jerry, like other drivers, took a huge wage and benefit cut. So he's a victim of the economy, and he could no longer... He had a lot of trouble paying the mortgage that was serviced by Countrywide, the predatory lender that's now owned by Bank of America. And so he started to slip into default and tried to work with the bank to get a modification, something that would allow him to stay in the home, would help the community, and over time, you would think, would be of interest to the bank rather than walking away from another empty property that would get stripped and go vacant. The bank led them along, misrepresented what they were about. The usual runaround, we lost the documents, changing personnel at the bank who had to start all over again. And then suddenly out of the blue they get an eviction notice. The house is sold at a sheriff's auction. The bank takes possession. At some point the mortgage was transferred to Fannie Mae, and so now they face eviction. And here's the heavy irony: by the federal government, because Fannie Mae, as many listeners may know, went into its own bankruptcy and its own difficulties back in 2008 when the housing bubble burst and the federal government took it over. And so now we have the federal government, rather than working to keep people in their homes, is allied with the banks and often pressuring the banks to move ahead with foreclosures. And it's really an insane policy, because our communities, our neighborhoods are being ravaged by these foreclosures that then leave the house empty. Then, as many people know, the house often then gets stripped. The surrounding housing values decline. It really impacts everybody in the neighborhood, not just the victims of that immediate foreclosure. So we want basically Bank of America to take back the mortgage and to do the right thing, modify the loan so that the Cullers can stay in their home. They still have income. They're working to keep they're above water in terms of the circumstances they face. And the bank should be able to find a way of keeping them in the home. Otherwise, we want Fannie Mae to sell the home at its appraised value, which is well below what it was when the Cullers refinanced their loan back in 2006. Sell it to a nonprofit so that the Cullers can arrange with that community group to stay in their home and find a new basis for living in Rosedale Park.
You know, Steve, this is unconscionable. It's sinful, even, that they do this to good families. Let's let people know that Jerry and his wife also live with their daughter and her 88-year-old mother, who has Alzheimer's disease. These are not people that need to be harassed. These are people that need to be assisted.
Absolutely. And you know, the resources are there to do it. It's just the political will has not been there. And that's the real problem. And that's what we're trying to draw attention to. Obviously, we work on these cases one by one. We've got a lot of dedicated people interested in this kind of campaign, but we don't have the resources to stop the thousands and thousands of foreclosures that are going on. What we're trying to do, though, is raise the visibility of these cases, mobilize communities, help them defend themselves, and people are becoming more active in that regard, and that's a positive sign in a circumstance that's otherwise quite grim.
Well, what can my audience do to help the colors?
Well, there's a couple things you can do. You can come tomorrow, Saturday morning at 10 a.m. to the Colors House. We're going to rally at their home. The neighbors we've been talking with, and there's a lot of support for the Colors in the neighborhood. This is not the first case where we've campaigned to keep someone in their home and avoid an unjust foreclosure and eviction. So at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, we're going to rally at the Colors home, and the address is 14503 Artesian. And that is just west of the Southfield Freeway. Get off at Grand River, go west about seven or eight blocks. Take a left in Artesian and go down about five blocks. 14503. And then we're going to march from there to the nearby branch of Bank of America and call on them to do the right thing, to find a way with Fannie Mae to keep these decent people in their home. They want to pay for the home that they've been living in for 23 years. They want to pay the reasonable price for it that they can afford and that would help the community and help this city. So that's the first thing they can do. And then next week, we're going to be down in 36th District Court on Tuesday, November 13th at 9 a.m. In the courtroom of Patricia Jefferson. And we're going to be basically arguing on behalf of the Colors with them and the attorney they now have. That we have alternatives to foreclosure and eviction, and we really should write this thing and move in a different direction that will help the community. So that'll be at 9 o'clock, 36th District Court, down at 421 Madison. We also have a flyer that asks people to call Bank of America and call Fannie Mae and has numbers on there. Urging them to do the right thing.
Yeah, we're gonna put a link to that on the on our Facebook page, Steve, so that people can go check that stuff out. I also want them to do something. You know, both our senators need to be more involved. Debbie Stabenow and Carl Levin need to be more involved in these cases as well.
Oh, I think so too. But I do want to say on their behalf that in some of the previous cases where we've been also dealing with Fannie Mae in alliance with the banks, that actually Senators Levin and Stabenow, in response to our pressure, did the right thing and helped us out tremendously. So did, by the way, Congressman Hanson Clark. He's been very good on these matters. And we regret seeing him go, but we're happy to see that there are Democrats who are rallying slowly, but to the cause. Our problem is that the national policy is still going in the wrong way, and we hope that President Obama is going to do the right thing by removing from the directorship. He's acting director. Ed DeMarco is acting director of Fannie Mae. And he's really stood in the way of principal reduction, and that's what we need, is to help homeowners stay in homes that are underwater, where the market value has collapsed, and the economy has put them in real severe difficulty. Maybe they also have medical bills that they can't afford, or they took wage cuts and pension cuts like Jerry Colors did. So people are really hurting, and they really need that help, and it would help the economy if you lift that burden of debt by reducing principal to match the actual market value. People would have incomes that could go back into the economy and help revive our slow-paced recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, we're just out of time. I look forward to meeting you in person tomorrow evening, and thank you for all the work you continue to do. You know we're here for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet. Steve Babson, peoplebeforebanks.org. We'll get that up on the Facebook page. Listen, another victory on the other side. Stay with us. Tim Grimel joins us.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we've picked up a serious accident on 75 northbound just after Clark Street, and it leaves only the right lane open, and you have stop and go traffic from Livernois. And also use some caution because debris is scattered across the freeway. Now, 96 westbound after Farmington, that disabled vehicle has been cleared. All lanes are now open. And on 75 southbound between 13 Mile and 8 Mile, traffic is creeping along there. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 54. Tonight, a low of 46 with some showers. Tomorrow, 61 with showers in the morning and early afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Barton Ecker. President Obama will use his first White House speech appearance since the election to tell Congress to do something to avoid potentially economy-crippling tax increases and automatic spending cuts due to hit in January. Stocks are down in Europe this morning. CNBC's Mary Thompson says investors are rattled here at home.
Well, it could be another tough day for investors. Two main worries hanging over Wall Street. First of all, weakness in Europe's economy, and then concerns we are going to fall over the fiscal cliff.
Crews are still racing to restore power to hundreds of thousands hit hard by Hurricane Sandy. And by this week's nor'easter, there are gas shortages, and there is gas rationing in the Big Apple and on Long Island. Seven members of the elite U.S. Navy SEAL Team 6 are in trouble this morning for disclosing classified material while helping to produce a video game. The group includes one who took part in the raid that resulted in the death of Osama bin Laden. This is NBC News Radio. The man who in January 2011 shot to death six people and wounded 13, including former Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, has been sentenced to seven consecutive life sentences plus 140 years in a federal prison. Giffords' husband, Mark Kelly, addressed the court in Tucson at yesterday's sentencing for 24-year-old Jared Lee Loftner.
He was paying attention to what we were saying. He wasn't really happy at points. And, you know, I almost felt like, you know, during that whole, you know, few minutes that he and Gabby were having, you know, quite the staring contest.
Some people are allergic to the materials in some smartphones. A new study finds that about one-third of BlackBerries contain nickel, which is a common allergen, along with cobalt. Neither nickel or cobalt was found in iPhones or Droids. The possibility of salmonella contamination is prompting Nestle to recall some packages of Nesquik chocolate powder. I'm Barton Eckert, NBC News Radio.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's number one acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So, stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? With Proactive, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactive 100% risk-free for 60 days. And we're giving away our amazing Dark Spot Corrector, free and yours to keep, just for participating. With Dark Spot Corrector, it's like your breakouts were never even there. Be one of the 50 people to complete the 100% risk-free trial and get a free Dark Spot Corrector. Supplies are limited, and this offer ends soon. So call now, 1-800-763-4813. That's 1-800-763-4813. 1-800-763-4813.
If JCPenney indeed is in the middle of a business transformation, it sure is a painful one. This morning, the company reports it lost $123 million in the third quarter. As sales fell more than 26% from last year. Penney has spent most of this year changing from a seller-of-all-wares type of department store to a specialty chain, and has cut out formerly ubiquitous advertising for all types of sales. Walt Disney is reporting record earnings and sales for the third quarter, thanks to rising theme park revenue and more bookings on its cruise ships, helping offset some weakness at ABC Television. New day on Wall Street. Could be the same old story. No breakthroughs in the U.S. fiscal cliff standoff thus far, and no change in Europe's long, long debt crisis saga. So no change in direction for the market either, apparently. S&P futures down 6, NASDAQ futures losing 9, Dow futures down 60, Asian and European stock markets also down today. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Ally Bank, why they don't hide things in the fine print.
That'll be $34.50.
I think the ad says it's half off.
If you look closely, it says only on Tuesdays.
It is Tuesday.
In October.
It is October.
During leap years.
This is a leap year.
After the first frost.
Oh, please.
Nobody likes when things are hidden in fine print. That's why Ally doesn't do it. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally. Member FDIC.
You just heard someone seeing pink in her sink after brushing. She's screaming because she knows bleeding gums can mean gingivitis, and that can lead to tooth loss, gum surgery, and worse. Now, daily use of the Natural Dentist mouth rinse can stop bleeding gums. So stop the screams and start the anti-gingivitis treatment with the Natural Dentist mouth rinse at Walgreens, Whole Foods, and other stores.
If you like painting and saving money, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% off paints and stains during our four-day super sale, November 9th through the 12th. With 40% off our great paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We're not sure what some banks mean when they say,
"How can I help you?"
Because whenever you ask for their help, it's always,
"That's not in our policy, sir."
And then they need to
transfer you to a supervisor
who is
currently assisting other customers.
And after all that, they say,
"Your business is extremely important to us."
At Ally Bank, we give you live, knowledgeable customer service any time of day or night. Products designed to help you and no ridiculous fees. That's how Ally helps. Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Tribbiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Tribbiano.
Welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday, the 9th day of November 2012. And, well, listen, let's put this in proper context. The Democrats in the State House picked up 5 seats. That's big. In another 5 or 6, 7 districts, combined less than 3,000 votes separated Democrats from Republicans. And although we didn't recapture the majority in the House, what we did do is send a very loud message to this legislature that the Democrats are not only paying attention. In fact, if we break the numbers down, more Democrats got votes than Republicans. But because of gerrymandering and the way this redistricting worked, well, it worked the way the Republicans needed it to. In a very odd turn of events, the Republicans yesterday chose their leaders, and they chose to reelect the corrupt Jace Bulger, state representative from the west side of the state, to his leadership post as the majority leader. Well, the Democrats had a unique opportunity to put somebody out there as the minority leader that would speak for all of them. Now, this is not a slam on the current minority leader in any way, Richard Hamel, at all. It's not an indictment on him, but it's time. It's time for new blood. It's time for new vision. It's time for new leadership. And Tim Grimmel, who joins us now, State Representative Tim Grimmel, who joins us now, was fortunate to be chosen by his colleagues to lead them in the minority into the future. And Representative Grimmel, first of all, let me welcome you back to First Shift. It was great seeing you about a month or so ago at the UFCW, and great to talk to you this morning.
Thanks, Tony. It's great to be on the show again, and great to talk with you again. I'm a big fan of the show, as you know.
I know, and I do appreciate that. Again, congratulations. And I've got to tell you, you know, there are some that are scratching their heads. As you know, you've been there 8, 9 months, no previous experience at the state level, certainly as a commissioner in Oakland County, the work that you did, the work you've done as an attorney is well known. So, you know, Representative Grimal, are you a little surprised that you got the support that you did?
Well, it was pretty simple and straightforward in terms of how I went about asking my fellow members for their support for leader. And it was really about presenting a vision for what the caucus can be, a vision for bringing us all together around key goals and principles, and being a lot more aggressive in standing up to the Republicans and in getting our message out to the residents of Michigan.
Well, certainly, you know, I have talked to some of your colleagues. One of them, Harvey Santana, was on with us just this past Monday, and he spoke about his process for deciding to support you. Now, he didn't get into the personal conversation the two of you had, but he talked about you having a vision, you having, let's call it moxie. He said that he felt confident that you are going to be able to stand up to the majority. And I got to tell you, Tim, as we take a look at January 2013, even in this lame duck session, which, of course, you will not be leader for, but going into 2013, I think that we did send a message on Tuesday that Democrats are more relevant than the Republicans give us credit for, and I think you will hold them accountable to that.
I think that's right. You know, they pushed an very extreme agenda these past 2 years, as you know, and as I'm sure your listeners know. They cut taxes for big corporations and raised them on the rest of us. They started taxing seniors' pensions. They raised taxes on middle class and working families by cutting the earned income tax credit and eliminating deductions for children and for homesteads. And, of course, they decimated public education funding by passing draconian cuts in funding to our local schools. And when they did that, they had a pretty sizable majority. You know, for much of the term, it was 63 to 47, and in recent months, it's been 64 to 46. And as a result, they were able to let off a lot of their members from having to take those votes. They told marginal members, don't vote yes on this because we know the people of Michigan don't like it, and you'll lose your election if you vote for this. And now that we've narrowed that gap, and now that next term is going to be 59 to 51, they can only let off three of their representatives from taking hard votes and still have the 56 votes they need to pass something if we as Democrats stay united and oppose the nonsense that we've seen them push. And so I think you're right, that they're going to be forced to moderate some of their policies, that they're going to be forced to work with Democrats on some issues. You know, that's an exciting prospect that we can hopefully stop a lot of the nonsense that we've seen them push.
Well, I don't know if I shared this with you or not, and this is more on a personal note. You know, I'm formerly a resident of Pontiac, and I owned a couple businesses there. I lived there for a long time. I own two homes there at one time. I have a great affinity for that area. One of the things that very much excites me about Representative Tim Grimal being the minority leader is you are a true progressive. Your entire career, even when you were serving on the Rochester School Board, you had a progressive agenda. It's been a long time since we've had a true progressive lead the Democratic caucus. I couldn't be happier for you.
Well, thanks, Tony. That means a lot to me, especially coming from you. So thank you for your expression of confidence. We've got a lot of work to do in the caucus. You know, I'm very proud of my progressive values, and the vast majority of our caucus members have very progressive values. But we've got a lot of work to do to prepare ourselves and work very hard to make sure that we win majority in 2014.
No question. Let's go to the phones quickly and take a call. I want to welcome Richard in Detroit to First Shift. And, Richard, thanks for your call this morning. You're on the air with Representative Tim Grimal.
Great. I just wanted to publicly congratulate Representative Grimal for this new position. Tony, I've worked with Tim and seen him in the courtroom as a litigator, someone who champions the rights of working men and women, very successful in the cases that he litigated. So we not only have someone who's intelligent and able to pull people together, but we've got a true fighter. a litigator on our hands, and I couldn't be happy about the selection that we've been to make.
I'm assuming this is Richard Mack, am I right?
You got the right.
All right. Well, no, listen, that's all right. Tim, go ahead. You can respond.
Well, thank you so much, Richard. It's very kind of you to call in. And no, this is not a plant. I asked Richard to call in, but it's very kind of you for you to
hey,
do
I'm,
so,
I'm
Richard.
Hey, I'm a listener to the Tony Show, man. What can I say?
Well, that's very kind of you, Richard. And you're absolutely right that I've been fighting for progressive values for many, many years as a school board president in Rochester, as a Democratic leader on the Oakland County Commission, and as a labor and civil rights attorney in recent years. And certainly that's the same approach that I'm going to bring to the State House.
Well, thank you, Richard, for the call. I do appreciate it. You know, Representative Grimal, you and I did have a conversation a couple weeks ago. Of course, this show is very interested in helping you deliver the message that the public needs to hear. So you know that you have carte blanche on this show. I'm going to look forward to working with the House Democrats in a larger way moving forward through the year 2013 and beyond, and helping you find candidates. One of the great things about not being a journalist is I don't have to pretend I'm something I'm not. I can be the progressive activist radio show host that I am and not have to worry about looking fair and balanced. I do tell the truth, but I don't have to worry about all the window dressing that goes with the other malarkey. I want to help you, Tim Grimal, I just want to let you know publicly that I'm there for you.
Well, thank you so much, Tony. Again, that really means a lot to me. I'm looking forward to working with you, and I'd be honored to be on your show with some regularity. So just let me know whenever you want me to be on the show. I'm always happy to call in.
Well, congratulations again on the official victory yesterday with that election. You've got a great floor leader, by the way, in Rudy Hobbs. I see a leadership team that is going to be very proactive. And certainly very vocal, and I know that you're going to carry the message of Democrats statewide, and I'm happy to say there are more of them this time around. I know that you will carry that message strongly into the future, and I would expect that we can expect victories moving forward.
Well, you can count on it, Tony, and I think you made an important point about Rudy Hobbs, the representative from Southfield. He and I are going to be great partners, and we're going to build a great team that includes collaboration with all members of our caucus.
Well, Tim Grimal, thank you again. We'll look forward to working with you moving forward. Good luck in the lame duck session.
Thanks again, Tony. It's great to be on the show.
You bet. State Representative Tim Grimal, the new minority leader in the Michigan State House, and very excited for his election. And, Richard, thank you as well for your call. This is very exciting. Again, no disrespect to Richard Hamill. I don't envy what Rick Hamill had to put up with over the last 2 years when the other party has a supermajority, and they did have a supermajority. You become almost, underline, italicized, boldface, almost irrelevant, almost. And it makes it very, very difficult to do your job as a leader otherwise. Let's give Rick Hamill credit for doing the fundraising that he did. That is one of the jobs of the leader, to help elect 5 new Democrats to the State House beginning in January of 2013. When we continue, Sharmi Gulson with us. You're going to like this interview. You're going to like this lady. We're going to take the break, and we'll come back and continue this thing we call First Shift. Stay with us.
With Tony Trivia.
My point is to Republican adults. When 14-year-old boys sound exactly like you do, maybe you should rethink the shit that's coming out of your mouth.
On 1310 WDTW.
No wonder 14-year-old boys can do your act. You act exactly like 14-year-old boys.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Let's check out 75 northbound just after Clark Street, where we still have that accident and it's blocking your left shoulder, and you got stop and go traffic from Dearborn Street. Rest is just slow traffic, 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75, also 75 southbound between West Road and Dix Toledo Highway. Running slow on 94 westbound between Maross and Gratiot, and tapping their brakes on 94 westbound between Michigan and US 23. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 54. Tonight, a low of 46 with some showers. Tomorrow, 61 with showers in the morning and early afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Is America truly the land of the free? When working families have to struggle to survive, are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. I want to say a good morning to my friend Tom from UAW Local 174, who listens every day. Convalescing from hip surgery, he fell and broke his hip after he just went through cancer surgery. Not been a tough year. He just sent me an email and said, the best thing that happened to me this year is President Obama was reelected. Well, that's a good thing, Tom. That's a good thing indeed. And, of course, my thoughts and prayers are with you, my friend, as you heal, and you will be back stronger than you've ever been, because you're just too young to be an old man. That's all I got to say to you, pal. So can just hang in there, and you're going to be fine. We're open lines in the bottom of the hour if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. I'm getting a nice response. I'd given you some homework yesterday. I want to do this for a few more days. I want to kind of build a database here is what I'm trying to do. What would you like us to focus on moving forward? You know, we've got 4 hours to fill every day. During an election cycle, especially as we careened closer and closer to November 6th, that the show just booked itself. We had candidates want to be on, issues we needed to cover. Well, now we've got an opportunity to service your needs. And this is your first shift. So I want you to just send me an email. I don't care if it's a very personal issue or if it's something that is more global in nature. And we are starting to build, by the way, some very interesting trends with this ask. So I'll throw it out again, tony@thetonyshow.org, tony@thetonyshow.org. Send me a note, and I am reading every one of these. I said I was going to respond to every one. I got too many to respond. So I will be. I am certainly reading every one of them. I've got a nice little flow chart going. I promise you, I've gotten everything from, can you please talk about autism, maybe diet and exercise, seriously, to all kinds of political issues. Everything is on the table. Everything is on the table. We have an amazing opportunity to continue to build this community. And I told you, one of my concerns after the election was that I was going to lose part of the audience because we don't have the heat that an election brings. Well, there's still plenty of heat out there for the issues that are coming up, including what's going to happen to unions, including what's going to happen with women's reproductive health. And I can go on and on and on. All right, let's go to the phones and welcome Paul in Sterling Heights to First Shift. Paul, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind, sir?
Tony, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I am one of the, say the minority, I am a 60-year-old dirty hippie liberal.
My favorite kind.
Yeah, okay. And I and another, I'm retired from Ford. I started a online discussion group with a retired auto worker from Chrysler. And our liberal discussion group, the thing that we discussed when we formed the group was we wanted our group to be more inclusive than exclusive, and we welcomed conservative members. Because liberals argue so much amongst ourselves, what would our arguments be if we were ankle deep in the old, our own split hairs, if you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
Okay, here's my point. And if you look at it, just consider it. I believe that the true tragedy in America today is that conservatives would rather blow their own brain out than say that they were wrong. Because if they admit to being wrong, that means that somewhere, at some time, a liberal was correct.
You're right, Paul.
Is that tragic?
Well, it is tragic.
Is that tragic?
Of course it's tragic. But let me, Paul, let me go back to something you said. You know what? Liberals do argue amongst themselves. Sometimes we get into knockdown, drag-out fights. We don't agree on anything. Paul, that's our strength, not our weakness.
Exactly, and so is looking for a diversity of opinion.
Absolutely.
My group will never ban one conservative member who has the courage to come in and debate with us. I refuse to do it. I refuse to ban them, and it pisses a lot of our liberal members off.
Now, you know, listen, we have a couple people that troll our Facebook page, and I don't ban them. I've removed an inappropriate comment once or twice because I just don't appreciate being offensive. I think, Paul, the greatest tool of our democracy is debate. And certainly, agreeing to disagree, as long as we're agreeing and disagreeing on facts, I'm in favor of. It's when they start trying to ram their opinion down my throat and try to present it in fact that I take exception to that.
Tony, the more members, now, my group doubled in size. It was 525 members the day before Christmas, and the day before the election, we were at 1,050. That's a decent amount of growth, okay? And I'm as willing to slap down the more doctrinaire liberals in our group because of being inflexible as I am to stand up to conservative bullying. You know, that's just the way I am.
Well, I, you know, Paul, thank you for your call. First of all, I really appreciate you taking the time to reach out to us this morning and sharing all of that. I think it's great that you are engaged in your waning years, although 60's kind of young. But I appreciate the fact that you are so engaged. I appreciate the fact that you take the time, to be engaged and involved in the process. Again, I have no problem. We have conservatives call the show. What we often find is some of them are a little less respectful than others. I'll use an example, although Brooks is not necessarily a conservative. He and I don't agree on a lot, but we're very respectful. Certainly Stephen Monroe, he and I don't agree on a lot, but we can be very respectful to each other. And we got people like Mark in Birmingham who just is trying to always embarrass me. Yes, Mark, if you're listening, I know what you're trying to do. It's fine. I don't care. What I care about is real dialogue, and I get that with Brooks, and I get that with Steve. Don't necessarily get that with Mark. It's okay to include these people. I said this yesterday with Chris Mihalakis. I have Republican friends. We disagree profoundly on many things, but we're still people. We're still fathers. We're still husband. We're still men. We're still human. And as much as some of you would like to think that I eat, breathe, chew, and do everything else as a liberal, I don't. I have other interests. I like to read. I love horror novels. I like watching television occasionally. I'm a big fanatic of the Food Network. That doesn't make me a lesser than, does it? Absolutely not. All right. A quick break here. We're going to talk about the war on drugs and how ridiculous it is when First Shift continues. Stay with us. Paul, again, thanks for your call.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's check out 75 northbound just after Clark Street, where we still have that accident and it's blocking your left shoulder, and you got stop and go traffic from Dearborn Street. Rest of just slow traffic, 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75, also 75 southbound between West Road and Dix Toledo Highway. Running slow on 94 westbound between Maross and Gratiot, and tapping their brakes on 94 westbound between Michigan.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 54. Tonight, a low of 46 with some showers. Tomorrow, 61 with showers in the morning and early afternoon. And it's currently 34 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Today, I am notifying the honchos of Bain Capital, Blackstone Group, and other big-time private equity funds that my little company, Saddleburr Productions, can be had for a price. I published this notice in response to a recent news item revealing that these funds have a perplexing problem. They have too much money on hand. In all, they're holding $1 trillion that super-rich speculators have entrusted to them. Private equity funds or corporate predators that borrow from the rich and then buy out targeted corporations, dismantle them, and sell off the parts for a fat profit. However, in these iffy economic times, these flush funds have hesitated to do big takeovers, so they're sitting on all that cash, which they refer to as dry powder. Under the rules of this high-stakes casino game, however, firms have to spend their borrowed money by a set time or give it back. And the clock is ticking. So, using Wall Street's macho lingo, the big players have announced that they're ready to go elephant hunting and are prepared to fire big bucks to bag some companies. To which I say, fire away at Saddleburr Productions. Okay, my company is hardly an elephant, but maybe it could be what the equity hucksters refer to as a hot potato. That's when one firm grabs a company just to sell it to another firm, which might pass it off to yet another. They are expected to spend more than $22 billion this year selling hot potatoes to each other, in part just to move cash out the door so they don't have to give it back. This is Jim Hightower saying, believe it or not, this is what passes for good business sense in the truly screwy world of private equity. All they're doing is churning money, producing absolutely nothing, except, of course, huge fees for the churners. Think what good that $22 billion would do if it were put into the real economy. But if that's the game, hey, put me in the mix. $1 billion sounds about right. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is former congressman and national co-chair of the Blue-Green Alliance, Mark Schauer.
What I see in Michigan is growth in the auto sector relating to producing clean vehicles and the president's fuel efficiency standards, which there was a EPA hearing in Detroit. That change, which has been embraced by a coalition of the auto industry, the UAW, and environmental groups, 13 auto companies support it because they know that's what consumers want, and they also know it will create jobs. In Michigan, it'll create about 24,000 jobs, good manufacturing jobs.
First Shift with Tony Trivio
on 1310 WDTW.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am Tony Truppiano. You're listening to First Shift, and I appreciate you being with us. Well, listen, throughout the state of Michigan and throughout the country on Tuesday, communities and states have sent a simple message that the recreational use of marijuana is something that we no longer need to keep in the closet. And in fact, in communities across the state and in states across this country, they have legalized the use. Now,